Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
I just want to pray and jump right into this message today. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do, what you've done through worship and setting an atmosphere, God, of an open heaven where the things from heaven, God, can literally come to earth in this moment we're in. We can get healed. We can get delivered. We can get set free. We can get saved, God. We can have the things that you say we can have in your word, Father. And so, Lord, let it come forth and let us be receptive to it. Everybody say, get it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo, all right. Well, pose a question to you right out of the gate today. Go ahead and put it up. First note, got to get right into it. Was Jesus buried for a purpose? And I think we all would agree, yes. And you know, I love when God sends confirmation. And I was worried, I was thinking, okay, God, is this the word? You know, I always do that prayer, which word do you want to release and stuff? And then I line up some things, and then confirmation comes. And if you look at that last song we just worshiped God to, it talks about the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. Come on now. Christ be magnified through me. If you're in the fire, I go. If you're in the grave, I went with you. I got resurrected with Christ. Amen. And so this morning is going to talk about being buried with a purpose. It may sound a little morbid in the beginning, but to be buried with a purpose is the purpose. Amen? And Jesus came to live, but he also came to be buried. He came to live for us. He came to die in our place for us. He came to be buried for you and me. But think about his burial is he didn't need it but just for about 3 days. Is all he needed a tomb for because it wasn't a permanent death. And then, of course, everybody say he resurrected. So let me ask you this morning, have you been buried? Have you been buried? And I haven't been buried with this physical body yet, but I've got buried at the age of 16 years old. That's when I accepted Christ into my life, and I'll just tell you what, I hadn't got over it yet. Come on now, I've met people, I think you've gotten over your salvation. I hope you haven't, but you act like almost, well, I had that happen in my life, and I've moved on from that, and I'm over it now. No, you're still alive to your old self if you're that way. When you get dead and buried, and you realize in that moment that you die to this world, and Jesus is now letting you live in his glory in this world, you don't get over that. You look to press into that more and more and more every day you can. I'm still as excited today that I'm a child of God as the day he washed my sins away and he led me into the presence of Jesus. So look at your neighbor and say, don't get over it. Matter of fact, you should be more excited today than you have ever been in your life. Amen? Now, if you've gotten born again and you got buried with Christ, you've also risen with Christ. Say amen to that. But the question is, what have you buried? Or I guess a better question would be, since you got born again, what else do you need to bury? Are there some things in your life that's still alive and showing signs of life that need to be dead and buried and done away with? Oh, yeah. How about some of your friendships? Is there some friendships you need to bury because you know that when you get around them, you're tempted to go back into an old mindset? So maybe there's some friendships still lurking around out there that you like to dabble in because it's still got that era of sin and fun and excitement around that. Are there some old attitudes you need to bury? Touch your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you this morning. Do you still have some of that pre-Jesus attitude and mouthy? Did you mouth? Has anybody buried your mouth? Raise your hand if you still need to bury maybe one side of your lip sometimes. Maybe the top or the bottom, I don't know. But sometimes one of them will get a little mouthy and get a little fluent with some words that doesn't need to be coming out of a man of God in a woman of God's mouth. So you need to bury that, because that should be dead too. Amen? What about our old thought patterns? Anybody ever bury your old thought patterns that need to be buried? Sometimes those thoughts come up and you're like, where did that come from? You need to kill that and bury that, not let it linger in your mind. Are there some old habits and actions that you still try to participate in now that you're a child of God that need to be buried this morning? And I'll end with this one as far as some things that may need to be buried. Is there anything in your past you need to bury? I think we've all got some of that. Because the past is what the devil tries to beat us up with in the now. And when it's buried in the past, you don't go over there and try to dig that thing up. I'll use King James. Surely it stinketh. Things that have been buried stinketh if they come up out of the ground. Can I have a better amen there? So if you have never buried anything, if you haven't buried, you go ahead and put up the next note. The first thing you need to bury is you. Don't try to bury anything else but you first. And a matter of fact, you're not going to bury your mouth. You're not going to bury your past. You're not going to bury your bad attitudes. You're not going to bury any of this other stuff until you bury you first. And the way you do that is you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I think a lot of us in here, hopefully most of us, maybe not all of us, I don't know where you're at today. You've never buried yourself. You're still living for you. That's why you're still living in the mouth you got. That's why you're still living with the thoughts you have. That's why you're still living in your past mistakes or your past successes. I don't know. That's why you're still living the way you are. You haven't died to yourself. But the Bible says you got to die to yourself and live so you can live to Christ. Amen. And to die to yourself means you've got to bury you and raise up in Him. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Let's go to the scriptures real quick this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone, everybody say anyone. Does that include the person sitting beside you? Yes. Does it include the person sitting behind you? Yes. Does this include people that you don't like? Yes. Mm-hmm, it sure does. If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation. It's not a refurbishing of the old. Are you understanding this? You've not been refurbished. You've not been restored. You've not been renewed. You have become a brand new creation. In other words, when I was lost without Jesus, I didn't know how to live with Jesus. But when I got born again and I buried my old self and I raised up to the standards of Jesus Christ, I now am something I had never been before, and that is a child of God. I was brand new. And in that, I begin to develop a new mouth, a new attitude. And now let me tell you something. We're still all what I call WIP in here. WIP, work in progress. I haven't achieved the perfect mouth yet. I have not achieved the perfect fullness of God's attitude yet. I haven't achieved everything in my past yet. But I'm not where I was. Phew, thank you, Jesus. You didn't leave me back there in that junk. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed. Everybody say, passed away. They passed away. And he says, behold, all things have become new. Now leave that up there just for a moment. Old things. Now what's it? My old mouth, my old attitudes, my old thoughts, my old actions, my old habits. Come on now. My past, that's gone. Everything now has given me a fresh new start. I can get a new mouth. I can get new attitude. I can get new friends, friendships that honor God. Come on now. And I can get past the past. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, you better if you want to live right with God. Are y'all okay? Old things have done what? Now, do you know what passed away means? It means gone. Buried, dead. Go ahead and put up the next note. The word past is that para pita hata bunda bunda. That's the word. Metaphorically means to pass away, to perish. So in other words, it's not that these things have just been boxed up and put in a closet for you to go dust off one day, bring back out, and try to relive your own sorrows and pity party in. He says these things have perished. They're dead, and they've been buried, never to be gotten up again. Everybody say passed away. You understand? And buried. Done. Now you're something brand new that God's going to continue to mold and shape into his image. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's who I am. Now you've got to identify yourself as with God now. And I know sometimes we think, well, I don't know if I can handle that. God is awesome and I'm not that great. You are that great. You are to identify yourself with Christ. Come on. Let me show you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. For you were what? For you were buried with someone. Now, we always say as a spouse or children, we got family plots in a cemetery. I want to be buried with. No, I am already buried with somebody. Now, I will probably be maybe beside or whatever, but that ain't going to matter. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be rude or crude in here, but you go to the cemetery, it don't matter where you're at because you ain't there. Amen. Amen? You don't want to know what I want to do at my funeral, but anyway. I'm going to have a blast. I don't think my wife will do what I want done, but anyway. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all real quick. That way you can hold her. If some of y'all are still around when I go, if I go, how I go, whatever. I want a party. I don't want a funeral. Funeral for dead people. I'm not dead. I'm more alive than you'll ever be. I'll be rejoicing. But I want it in here. I want the band jamming. No real slow stuff. I want jam. I want some thriving music. And I want you up. And I want a food line. I want a buffet across this platform right here. And I want my casket in the middle. And I want it open. And I want them to affix my hands in this position. And I want you to set a bowl of cheese dip in my hands so that I may serve one more time. Amen? I'm serious. That's what I want. I have had this vision for years. Okay? Now, if y'all don't do it, I'm going to come back and haunt every one of you. It's either that or take me off of a bluff and throw me out there and let the coyotes eat. Listen to me. I don't care. If it's buried, it stinketh. Don't dig it up. Amen? For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. That's what baptism is. It's a burial. It's representation. Now watch this. And with him, talking about Jesus, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. In other words, you have to see yourself that day being buried with Jesus in Christ. So if I'm buried in Christ, I didn't stay buried in Christ. I came resurrected with Christ too. So I come up that new Christ man. You came up that new Christ woman that day. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Now watch verse 13. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. Everybody say alive. Alive. He made you alive with Christ, for he, Christ, forgave all of our sins. My word. He didn't forgive some of them. He didn't look over what we consider the little minors and keep the majors out to hang over our head. He says he forgave all our sins. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's my God. Verse 14, and he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to a cross. Yeah! We can't even be accused anymore of it. Because he took it away, and the Bible says he nailed it to the cross. Everybody say, nailed it. Nailed. That's going to become very important here in just a few moments, the nailing part. Now, it says you were what? This all starts when you acknowledge you're buried with Christ. And we know Christ was buried for a purpose. His multiple purposes. He came to kill, Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that I can destroy the works of the devil. He says, I came to serve, not be served. So he had a lot of purpose, but his main purpose in dying was where he could resurrect us, that we could die with him and be born again through him. Yeah. Amen? Now, the word buried, go ahead and put that up. The word buried, now I'm gonna get this one, syntopto. It's the Greek word syntopto. And it means buried with Christ refers to participating, joining in, participating in his death by virtue of union with him. That's what being buried here means. In other words, I am participating with the death of Christ, acknowledging it, that I am dying with and to and through him, and I am also resurrected by him while I'm still alive on planet Earth. Not when I get to heaven, but while I'm alive on planet Earth. Are y'all okay? Now, here's the thing about it. When we're baptized into this, that's why I love baptism. I don't want you to just come up here and get wet. When you don't understand what baptism is, and that's why I meet every person I baptize in the morning before we baptize them, go over any questions they have and explain to them, this is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and now it's the death, burial, and resurrection of you. Yeah. Don't go up there and just get wet because it's fun to get in a little pool. Because when you do this, it is an outward sign of what's already taken place inside of you. That the old you is dead, and there's fixing to come up and has come up a brand new you in Christ, in his power, with his mouth, his habits, his attitude, his attributes, and your old ones are dead if you really died to it. But listen to me closely. Only those who die to sin can truly be baptized. If you haven't died to sin, you just get wet. Let me say that again. If you haven't died to yourself in your sinful ways and you go through a baptism, you just get wet. It nothing took because there's nothing there. There's still sin there. It's quiet in this place. Now watch this. You think I'm kidding? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Leave that up there a minute. Now, oftentimes we leave a portion of this out. We will quote it like this. The Bible says if you confess him, you'll be saved. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that only, let me put it like that. It says that if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe it in your heart, we kind of leave that in there, you shall be saved. But look, what you're confessing Jesus, but here's what you got to believe in your heart. Watch what it says, that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you don't believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, then how can you believe in Jesus? And if you can't believe that you die when you get born again to your old self and that he can raise you up in his strength, his power, his anointing, and his might, and you can live an authentic man of God and woman of God life, if you don't believe that about yourself, then you really don't believe Jesus. You're still worried about yourself. You can be the man of God. God says his word you can be. Ladies, you can be the woman of God. God says in his word you can be. But you've got to believe that Jesus died and was resurrected and you were too. Is that not what the word says? That God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. The Sadducees were the religious leaders of the time. There was Pharisees and Sadducees. What's the difference? You can always... Pharisees believed in resurrection and a life after this. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And here's the way you remember that, the difference. That's why they were sad, you see. Come on, it's just a little thing. One thing I did learn in some Bible classes. What made them sad, you see? It's sad if you don't have no resurrection. As a matter of fact, what separates us from any and all other religions in the world is that we have a resurrected Savior. We don't have a tomb to go worship where their bones are at. We're the only one that has a resurrection. Amen? And so you've got to believe that Jesus is resurrected. And I think most of you believe in here that Jesus rose from the dead, don't you? Well, have you risen from your old self, that new person, that new creation in God's image that can and should and will do all things that Christ says you can do? See, you put faith, and we're supposed to put faith and confidence in God. But when God puts himself in us, you need to believe that you can be what God told you you can be. How do you do that? By dying to these things, by killing that mouth, by killing that attitude in the name of Jesus. Are y'all okay? Crucifixion is the only real thing that'll lead to the proper burial. Let that settle in. That's why the Bible says crucify the flesh. Because if you don't crucify it, it'll stay in its own strength and power. You got to kill it. You can't play with sin. You got to kill it, bury it, and do away with it. You got to kill yourself, and you got to be buried and let God resurrect you in that new creation. But until we're ready to crucify our flesh, we're not ready to live for Christ. Are y'all okay this morning? Y'all acting like y'all is a little... y'all a little bit on the edge today. All right, let me show you this too in scriptures. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. First two words are what? Come on, first two words are what? Who does that mean? It's not talking about your neighbor. It's not talking about your pastor. It's not talking about your elders. It's not talking about the deacon board. It's not talking about Sunday school teachers. It's not talking about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's talking about you. I have. Not mom and dad. Not husband or wife. I have. Everybody say, I have. I have been crucified with who? There you go. Now, do you see yourself in that manner? That you were crucified with Christ? Because if you can't, you need to line up with the Bible. Again, it is very quiet in here this morning. I have. You're looking at somebody today that was crucified with Christ because of the Word. I'm looking at a bunch of people that if you've accepted Christ, you may not even know it, but you were crucified with him. Amen. Now, you and I were the reason he went to the crucifixion, but he took us with him. He took our sins. He took our past. He took all of our mistakes. He took our messed up mindsets and all of our failures. He took all of us with him on that cross, and he killed all the bad stuff, and he resurrected us in his glorious power and strength. Wow. That's why we can say without doubt, without fear, I have been crucified with Christ. And then you got to follow it up. Not only have we been crucified with Christ, yay for that, but you got to develop this, and now it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in mom and dad. In auntie and uncle, in my neighbor, in the pastor, in my great elder, my great deacon friend over here, in my brother's cousins over here. They're good people. Christ lives in them. No! Well, hopefully, yes. But the point is, Christ lives in you. If you've been crucified with him, then you're definitely going to be resurrected in and to and through him. And so if you're resurrected with Christ, that means Christ lives in you. Do you know why we bow our heads when we pray? Because that way we can get a good look at God, because there he is. He's in there. He's part. Let me read it again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives where?
In me.
Christ lives where?
In me.
Christ lives, dwells, tabernacles, inside of every born-again believer. Now, I know it don't look like it a lot. I know it don't sound like it a lot. But it should. It should. And if you'll begin to live it out authentically by the Word of God, it will. People will begin to see Christ in you. They'll begin to hear Christ in you. They'll begin to tell that there's something in you that doesn't look like the rest of the world. And it's sad, I have to say this, they'll even see that there's something in you that don't look like the rest of the church. That there's something real and authentic. I don't like saying that, but it's true. Wow. Now watch this. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now watch this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, here's the thing. I still have to live with this flesh until I die. That means I'm still going to be tempted in my flesh. That means my old mouth can come back if it doesn't stay buried. I can dig it up. That means my old lifestyle, I can unbury it anytime I want. That means my old attitudes, my old friendships, I can rekindle them if I want. But I don't want to. Why would I want to go back to a death when I have eternal life? It just doesn't make sense. But Satan's a master of deception. Can I have a better amen on that? Amen. Now, real quickly before we go today, burial has a word, another English word, which we assimilate with it. It's very similar to it and carries a lot of the same meaning. And that word is the word which we call to plant or planted. Everybody say plant. And I do mean no disrespect for this at all, because I have loved ones buried in cemeteries, parents and ever, but sometimes you will go by and people will say, you know, there's a cemetery with a bunch of people planted in it. Because planting is a burial. You've planted something in the ground. When you put anything in the ground, it's a plant process. You're planting it, okay? And one day, you know, I'll probably be planted somewhere. I don't know where. I don't even know where, but it won't matter because, again, I won't be there. But when you go to plant a garden, you have to take the seed, who can sit on a shelf for years and produce nothing. But as soon as the seed is put in the ground and covered, it is buried. It is what we call planting. Do you know what you're actually doing? You're actually burying a seed. But because God is the master architect and creator of all things, he designed a planet to where it would have seed and dirt, soil, earth, and that you could take a seed and put it in the ground and cover it up with dirt, and now something miraculous is about to happen. That seed will never grow until you put it in the dirt. It has to be buried, it has to be planted for it to produce. But when it is put into the ground and covered up with dirt, it then begins to somehow begin to manifest and grow and produce what it was designed to be and produce. So if I plant a tomato seed, I'm going to get tomatoes. If I plant a corn seed, I'm going to get corn. It's an amazing God-only thing. Look at your neighbor and say, God and the earth are great. Now, again, the seed is buried for purpose. And I remember preaching this a long time ago. I don't even remember what the name of it was, but when somebody throws dirt at you, anybody ever have that happen on social media or anywhere, slander you, throws dirt on you. Just take the dirt and say, bring it on. I'm a seed. You're just making me grow. You're just producing in me what God wants produced out of you. You don't understand. You ain't hurting me. You're growing me. That's what real seed does. Real seed. Now, if you've ever been in Growth Track, I go over a little bit of this in Growth Track. But let me tell you something. If you love a seed, now if somebody really wants to make a seed produce, yeah, we're going there. If someone really loves their seed and wants to maintain it and have it come to its maximum potential, we have a process called fertilizing the seed. You do know what fertilizer is made of. Poop. Crap. Dung, as the Bible would call it. So if you love something, not only are you going to throw dirt on it, you're going to throw a little manure on the top of it. And so what's that going to have that seed? In other words, that seed's got to come up and go through all the crap to get to what it's meant to be. So whatever it is you're going through right now and somebody's throwing it on you, Don't look at it as that. Look at it as there. You're a seed and you're fixing to grow up and you're going to go all the way through all the crap and you're going to come out and you're going to produce what God wants you to produce out of it. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a seed. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, the scripture to back up the miraculous work of that is this right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26. The Bible says, for the earth is the Lord in all of its fullness. Yes. See, God designed the earth to receive a seed, and dirt and seed go together and make something. Yeah. So we got to go through some things in life to get to where God wants us. Yes. And there's sometimes it's not pleasant, and there's sometimes these situations stink. But we got to go through them. You don't just fold up and shut down. You don't make it your identity. Your identity, your testimony, everything still has to be in who God is. And that you're dead to this world, but you're alive to eternal life through Jesus Christ, even while you're here going through some things. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now here's the one I want to get to. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 6 and 7. We're going to leave verse 6 up when I get to it as we finish it. Don't go to 7 yet. The Lord's speaking here. He says, for I have set my eyes on them for good, and I'll bring them back to this land. Now watch this. Read the next two words with me. 1, 2, 3, read. I will. I will there is God. In other words, God's will. I will. This, everybody say, that's God. I will what? I will build them and not pull them down. And then he goes again and declares who it is. Say it with me. I will. Now, what else does it say? I will plant them and not pluck them up. Now, we're going somewhere with this. Now, hang on. Now, who's doing this? God. Whose will is it? God's. God says, I will plant them and I will not pluck them up. Now, before we go to the next verse, the very first word of the next verse is the word then. It's a transitional word. So in other words, that first word then means it's contingent upon verse 6 being fulfilled. When verse 6 is fulfilled, then you can move on to the then thing that's going to happen in verse 7. But you can't go to the then until you've completed the verse 6 now. And the verse 6 now says, I will plant you and not pluck you up. I will plant you, and I will not pluck you up. I will plant you, and I'm not going to snatch you out. And when that happens, when you get settled, and you get established in who you are in Christ, and you've been crucified with Christ, and you've been raised from the dead in Christ, and you're a new creature in Christ, that's established, that's planted in you. Then, everybody say then. Now go to the next verse. Then I will, God will give you a heart to know him. You ain't going to know God until you know him in the resurrection. You may know a religious figure. You may know somebody you've seen on a storyboard or you've heard about. You won't know all kinds of different theologies about him. But bless God, when you know him in the resurrection power, nothing can take that away from you. You will know who he is, and you will know who you are.
Amen.
And you will be planted by God, and he's not going to pluck you up out of that.
Amen.
Then I will give them a heart to know me. Watch this. That I am the best friend they have during the hard season. No, that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Notice here, he does not say Savior. He says, I am Lord. See, we want to get a Savior that keeps us from going to hell, but we don't want nothing to do with somebody lording over our lives. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to live like God while I'm here either. I don't want to be bound to a word. I don't want to be bound to some things that keeps me from doing what I think I want to do, how I want to do it with anybody and everybody I want to. He says, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord. Lordship over their thoughts, lordship over their mouth, lordship over your decisions, lordship over your finances, lordship over your health, lordship over everything you got. let you know me as Lord, because he's a good Lord. I'll give them a heart to know me that I am their Lord, and they shall be my people. Are you his people this morning? Come on, it's good. Watch this now. And I will be their God, and they shall return to me, not with some of their heart, not with a little bit of their heart, but Bible says your whole heart. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Amen? Now watch this, though. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Now go ahead and put up the definition in the Greek for the word plant. Or excuse me, this is Hebrew. It is the word nada. Everybody say nada. Nada. And I'm pronouncing that correctly too. Nada. Everybody say nada. Nada. It is a verb meaning to plant. It means to be established. It means to start, to establish. It is has a sense of creating, to create or set in order. Now watch this. I told you it's going to be important. It describes nails being fixed and driven in. Jesus was not just put on a cross, he was planted on a cross. He was nailed and established to a cross where you and I could be resurrected with him. And not be snatched up or plucked up. You need to get this today. Somebody in here, I came to tell somebody some good news today. Are you with me? Now watch this. Established. I'm planted, I'm established, and it is nails driven in, and I'm fixed to this. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what happens in the fleshly realm. Now, I don't want bad things to happen. I don't want anything, tragedies. I don't want anything like that. And I believe if you pray and live, you can avoid a lot of stuff. Most of the stuff we bring upon ourselves. Be real honest with you. Very few things just get. But anyway, ain't got time for that. But I'm planted with God. And nothing needs to uproot you. So the first thing you needed to kill and to bury today was yourself. Go ahead and put the next note up. The first thing you need to plant is yourself in Christ. You need to establish who you are and your identity in Christ. You need to nail down the fact that you're a child of God. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now, that's the first thing you need to do. But what about when you get that established in your life? There's some orders here of some other things you need to get planted. If you're married in here, raise your hand. If you're happily married, keep it up. Sorry, I caught some of you. You need to plant your marriage. How many have been blessed with a kid or two or three or four or however many? Raise your hand if you're still happy about it. Okay, just checking. You need to plant yourself first. Don't get married until you've planted yourself. And don't get married to someone who's not planted. But when you find two seeds that are planted and they come to grow together, you plant your marriage and you plant your family. In other words, you establish your marriage and your family on God's concepts, not the world's. Then here's the list. The Lord showed me. When I get planted, I plant my marriage and my family. I've got to make sure that me, as I'm going to speak to the men in here, this is our jobs. Now, women, you're responsible too, but this, we're the leaders. We've got to make sure that our family is planted in the Word. Established, that means planted, and the Word of God is planted and established in your home above all else. Amen. Guys, do you hear me? Am I speaking to any men out here? I know we got maybe have some boys in here, but is there any men in the house? Dear God, is there any men in the house of God today? Is there any men in the house of God? Well, act like it. Sit there like a knot on a log. Be the man. Get your family established in the Word of God. Get them planted in it. Then you got to plant yourself in worship. not observing it. If you're watching worship, you're not planted in it. You're called to lead worship. You're called to worship God no matter what the circumstances are. You're called to be planted in prayer. How many have a prayer life on a continual basis? Come on now, don't lie in God's house. You know there's more women's hands up than there are men's right now? Guys, let me tell you something. Men, women, family, you better plant yourself in some prayer with what's coming up in this nation. You better know how to get a hold of God. So you got to be planted. You got to plant your marriage. You got to plant your family. You got to plant them in the word and worship and prayer. Then you need to plant them with generosity in their heart. We're all about our selfish generation now, the narcissism in the generation, and even in the church runs so deep it's pathetic. We've got to defeat that by planting our families in generosity and what they can give, not what they can get. How they can serve and not be served. Preaching better than your amen in this morning. You've got to get yourself and your family planted in the fruit of the Spirit, not the lawlessness of the world. To respond with kindness and gentleness and patience and long-suffering instead of anger, revenge, and get back. And there's only a couple of more to go. You've got to be planted in the Holy Ghost. Planted in Him. Planted in the Holy Ghost. Planted. And then you, your wife, your husband, your children, if you've been blessed with them, y'all in the Word, you in worship, you're in prayer, your generosity, you're flowing in the fruits of the Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And now He says, I want to plant all that in my church. You're to be planted in the church. Now, think about God. When God plants you with this stuff, the Bible says He will not pluck you up. He's not going to say, don't read the Word. Don't worship. He's going to say, don't worry about prayer. Just pray when you need it, when you get in trouble. Just call on Jesus when you get in trouble. He's never going to tell you to operate in the fruit of the world versus the fruit. He's never going to tell you you don't need the Holy Ghost. And He's never going to tell you stay at home and don't be a part of my church. I know that hair lips about half the people watching, but I don't care. God's never told you to sit at home if you can be in the church. Make sure you zoom in. Let me tell all the audience out there. If you are capable of being in church, you will never hear God tell you to stay at home from His church. You'll hear the devil tell you, but you will never hear God tell you that. Now, I love you, and I hope you didn't tune me out just then. But if you did, go tell somebody something you want to hear. Thank you. Satan's job. Steal, kill, and destroy anything that God plants. If God plants it and wants it to grow in your life, He comes in to snatch it up and tear it out of you. Everybody say, Satan's job. Satan's job. This is his number one job. Put it up. When you are planted where God wants you, everybody say, duh. Come on, say, duh. That's what I call the duh moment of the message right now. Duh. We ought to know this. When you are planted where God wants you, of course, by His satanic nature, of course He's going to do this. He is going to do everything He can to get you offended so you will leave where God put you. Anybody been married? What am I saying there? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'll do it for you. Was there ever a time in your marriage when you thought, I may have married the wrong one? Come on. Now, y'all ain't got to, I'm saying I have. It hit me on my honeymoon. Joey, what have you done? This is forever, like luggage. You just keep it forever. I had that thought hit me on my honeymoon. And it lasted all of about 30 seconds till I realized whose voice that was speaking to me. And I have never doubted it since. I know this was God's will. Ain't no doubt in my mind. Now, the enemy will come at you. But The reason he comes at you sometimes and will tell you that in your marriage is because that's where God has put you. If it's God and it's a blessing and God planted, of course he wants to destroy that marriage. Think for a minute. Everybody say nada. Nada means I'm planted. Nada means I'm established. Nada means I'm nailed down to this and I am fixed and I will not move. Somebody say, I'm not going to move. So when the enemy comes at you, can you put up nada? Can you go back and put up the definition for nada? For planted? I know they can. They'll get to it in a minute. But I want it to stay up here the rest of the service because I want you to see that. Because how many of you, since you've been born again, the Satan has entered and tried to tell you you're still lost? Come on now, I want you to raise your hand. That way everybody feels. I don't think there's ever been a born-again person that didn't have a temptation from the enemy to go, no, you're not. That's not real. You're still pathetic. You're nada. Nada. I'm planted. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been buried with Christ. I've been risen with Christ. I am established in Christ. I've been nailed. I am nailed with Christ. Nada to that. Everybody say nada.
Nada.
We're going to learn a new word today against the devil. Nada. I am planted. Amen?
Amen?
Anybody ever have the word of God come to you and you say, that's not for me, or I don't know if I can do that. And the Bible will come and tell you, oh, that word's for everybody else, but you're too sorry. It's not going to happen in your life. Anybody ever had that? I think we all have. What's the word we need to use against that? Nada. I am planted in that word. That word is planted in me. God and the Word are one. If God and the Word are one, God and the Word live in me. The Word of God is alive in me. I'm fixed on the Word. I'm established on the Word. I will not back down from the Word of God. I don't care what CNN and NBC and MLSD stands for. The Word of God says this, so that settles it. When the world comes at you and says, you've had a bad week, you've had a bad day, you had a bad trip up here this morning to church, don't worry about worship. You've had a bad day. Just sit back. Nada. I am planted to worship. I am established in worship. I am nailed to the floor with worship flowing out of my mouth and out of my hands and out of my feet. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Why? Because I'm nada. I'm planted in worship. The Bible says he seeks such to worship him in truth and spirit. He says, I must do that. So when the devil tells me I can't, I say, nada. I'm planted in worship. When the devil comes and says your prayer's not getting above the ceiling, why even bother to pray? It ain't happening anyway. You're not seeing no daylight. It'll never happen to you because of your past, because of this. You know you've disqualified yourself. And even since you've been born again, you kind of still been messing up. So why is God going to listen to your prayer? When he says that to you, screams that to you, you need to scream 1, 2, 3, nada. I'm planted by the promises of God. I'm established on the word of God. I'm established that God hears my prayers. Don't tell me he don't. He's done proved too many times he does. When Satan comes at you and says, you need to make everything about you. Everybody owes you something. You need to be this. And don't worry about serving. You make sure everybody serves you. You make sure you take as much as you can take from this world. You just be that way. What do we say to that? Nada. I am planted here to serve. I'm established in the word of God that my own God did not send his son to serve, but to serve. Nada to that garbage. I'm here to be used while I'm here.
Yes.
I'm here to serve in any capacity. Yep. Well, things happen in life, and you feel anger and frustration wanting to come out of you. You feel a cussing fit wanting to come out of you. You feel the fruit of the world wanting to come out of you. And you got that word. I'm supposed to be gentle, kind, loving, patient, long-suffering here. But I don't want to. I don't want to. I want to let them have it. I want to blast back. I want to defend myself here. I've got a right. Nada! I am planted in long-suffering. I am planted in joy. I am planted in gentleness and meekness. I'm established in that because of God. Two more to go. Do y'all remember the last two? Let me give you the last two in case you forgot a while ago on my list. When the devil comes and says, you don't need the Holy Ghost. You don't need that nonsense, herky-jerky stuff. All that weird. And you know what? You don't need all the weird stuff. But you do need all the Holy Ghost you can get. You don't need to speak in tongues. You don't need to prophesy. Oh, that's just a bunch of emotionalism stirred up. And if they know how to do it. Don't you listen to that liar. Let me tell you something. I think every believer, now again, I'm not telling you how, but I believe every believer ought to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I believe you ought to have a prayer language. I believe you ought to have a praise language. I believe you ought to have a prophecy coming out of your mouth. Why? Because God says we can. But I don't want to. Well, then you're getting what you want. But you won't just leave it alone there because most people go make fun of somebody like that. And I know some of you are new and maybe you haven't heard it here. Maybe you're wondering, well, Pastor, do you speak in tongues every single day of my life pretty much every day? Well, we've never heard it. Well, just follow me around. I'm here to preach to you where you can understand it. Oftentimes when I'm worshiping, I begin to worship in the Spirit sometimes down there. I don't do it to the top of my voice because it's between me and God. And I'm going to be preaching on this pretty soon. Matter of fact, I'll probably start next week. I'm probably fixing to start a message, 4-part series called Heaven, Hell, and the Holy Ghost in Holiness. Heaven, Hell, you're going to hear a message just solely about hell because it's real. You're going to hear a message on the Holy Ghost and holiness too. Amen. Hope you come back and bring somebody with you because you just might learn something and you just might get something. But when the devil says, you don't need the Holy Ghost, you don't need all that fanatical stuff about Jesus, just be content to just barely go to heaven. And while you're just barely going to heaven when you get there, you're going to struggle like crazy while you're down here. And I'm going to get in your world and I'm going to mess you up left and right. You don't mess with the Holy Ghost. Our shout to that type of mentality ought to be, Nada! I am planted with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I am planted in the gifts of the Spirit. I am planted in the language of heaven. I am planted in the prophecies of God Almighty and His Word. I am planted in the Word that says, I would that all would prophesy. That your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I'm planted in that because it's in the Word of God. I'm establishing my life on earth on the Holy Ghost and prophecy. Because that's what the Bible says. Listen, it's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's God. Why would we be afraid or be scared of part of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because the enemy's done a masterful job at deceiving what it really is. I got to move on. Oh my gosh, I got to move on. Y'all okay? And when he says, you don't have to be a part of the church. Nada. He says, I will plant you in the land and I will not pluck you up. Don't ever decide where you want to go to church. That's right. Don't ever vote on where you want to go to church. You get planted by God in a church and I can't run you out of here. I can't run you out. You can't get offended and leave. You can't get upset and leave when you're planted. But what happens in our world today, we're so used to not getting our way, well, we'll just up and go over here. My marriage ain't working right, I'll go find me another one that will. Come on. Said something don't like in the church, well, I'll just leave the church, go down here and find another church.
Satan knows that. And again, listen to me. When you're where you're supposed to be, of course he's going to make that thing rough. In your life, in your marriage, in your word, in your worship, in your prayer time, in the fruits of the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, and yes, even in the church. He'll make it somehow. They don't love me. They do nothing for me. Bless your little baby heart. But when you died to yourself and you're resurrected in Christ, it don't matter what anybody else does in your church. It don't matter if anybody else worships. You worship. You lift those holy hands. You take you a lap or two if you want to take a lap or two. Well, come on, Ronnie, we got to hurry. Yeah. Go ahead and put up the last note. The two most sought after places Satan wants to uproot you is your marriage and the church. Amen. Do you know statistically those are the two places most people leave quicker than anything else in America right now? The first sign of not getting their way or a little bit of pressure or trying to go through something and trying to work out something, leave the marriage and leave the church. Why? Why is that? Because those are the two institutions created and formed by God Himself. That's the process in planet Earth that He put in place was the church and marriage. And when Satan can pervert marriage, and he has, and he can destroy the nucleus of a Christian home, and he can get the men relinquishing their leadership role. Now, ladies, I love you, but you was not created to lead the family. I lost the other half right then. You were created as a helper to help lead the family. You are vitally important, but we're not the same. Equal, but not the same. And when we get that out of whack, and the men are no longer in the home leading their homes, then we get what we got as a nation right now. How can there be anyone as a child confused about what they are when there's a mom and dad following God in the home? It's not possible. That's why your kids ain't confused. And don't let the system grow them up and let them be confused. You make sure your house follows what's right. It's only when we pervert and we don't plant ourselves in our roles of God and we're not dead to the world, but we're more alive to the world than we are to God. And we start accepting things that aren't godly. So he wants to come into the family, the Christian homes, and cause destruction and death and divorce and just a whole splatter effect. Because when he gets that out of whack, then he can come into the church and start getting that compromised to where there's as much of the world sitting in the church on Sunday morning as there is at the club on Friday and Saturday. And we compromise our beliefs and we compromise holiness. Because we're still alive to the world. Because when we went through up there, we just got a little wet. Got a little goosebump and got a little wet. I want you to get baptized and come out with a glory bump, not a goosebump. Because we want just enough Jesus to get us in, but we don't want the Holy Ghost with power to live on earth while we're here. Let's stand this morning. There's so much more I could say on this, but it was a late hour, so just bow your heads where you're at. Again, this is the reason I ask you to bow your heads, because you can look and see where the Lord's at. He's in you. And if you look down there and you know you've never accepted God and He's not living in you, then my friend, we're going to make that offer to you right now. It's not our offer to give you, it's the offer of the Lord. He's invited you into His family. And we get the honor and privilege of inviting you on His behalf. And we tell you this, we're not inviting you to join church today. We don't even worry about that right now. We're not inviting you to become religious. We're inviting you to what we've preached about all this message. We're inviting you into the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, where you are already dead, but now you need to bury that death where you can live for eternity in heaven, and you can live for God while you're here on earth. And if you've never done that, just lift your hand and say, today I want to give my life to Christ. Amen. Right there is one. No doubt. Man, shot it up there like a man. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. 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 Anybody else? Just throw that hand up. Not being ashamed. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today, maybe you say, I've done that, but I realize I need to bury some things, and I realize today I need to plant some things. I need to establish and get some things nailed down that I've been laxed on, and I've let the enemy come in, and my marriage is halfway, and my life is halfway, and I've compromised here, and I've justified here, and I've let too much of the world creep into my biblical thinking. And I need to go back, and I need to plant some things, and I need to establish, and I need to nail some things down. Come on, if that's you too, I'm lifting my hands because I'm still in that process. So thank you, Lord, for every hand and every heart here today, and for the one that raised their hand to become our new brother in Christ this morning. We're going to pray with you. We're going to ask you to pray, but we want you to know we're going to pray right there alone beside you and with you in one voice to heaven today. So let's all pray this. Say, Father, today I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that he was buried and he rose again and he's alive right now for me. Today, I receive Christ into my life to become not something different, but something brand new. Today, I am a child of God. I receive my salvation through grace, by faith, that Jesus Christ died and he rose again. And now I am died and I have risen with him. And I will live for him the rest of my life, planted in all things, in all of God. In Jesus' name, I'm a child of God. Amen. Come on, celebrate.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's word, go make a difference in your world today.